Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. You have reached the man cave at Motormouth Mosley Radio. Going to talk a little football, a little baseball, see what's going to go on tonight. Had a great weekend of football today. And yesterday, great college football game, Texas A&M versus Alabama. Some classic NFL games that it went down the wire. Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch any of it until late tonight because I was out at a church event. But thanks to the internet and some friends taking some notes for me, I was able to get some grasp of what's happened today. We also have some information on some Major League Baseball. We've got some pennant races coming down to the last few games. We've got some wild card races that are extremely tight. Had a great golf tournament today, Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk shot a 59 the other day. I can do that on a 9, and I still call it a good day. But, a highlight of the weekend was a classic college football game that had been anticipated since last season when the Alabama Crimson Tide were knocked off by the Texas A&M Aggies, the only blemish on their record last year. New member to the SEC, Texas A&M, went to Tuscaloosa last year and upset the big dog of the conference. So ever since then, everybody has been anticipating a great rematch. What Coach Nick Saban had for the Aggies, I was a little disappointed, not in the game, but I was disappointed in some of the broadcasting. But I always am, because I think that they are too busy to trying to create a story or paint their own picture. Unnecessarily, the game was touted by some of the announcers last night as Johnny Manziel versus Nick Saban. Johnny Manziel is not the coach. The coach of the Texas A&M Aggie is Kevin Sumlin. Give the man the respect. It's his team. It's his team. He prepared them. It's his offense. That's who Nick Saban was playing chess against, not Johnny Manziel. Great game, though. Great game. Johnny Manziel, sans two passes, had an unbelievable game. You may dislike his attitude. You may dislike his arrogance. You may call him a punk, spoiled rich kid, whatever. But on the gridiron, the kid is a football player. Had a great game, like I said, minus two passes. He was 28 of 39 for 464 yards. He had 5 TD passes, but he had 2 interceptions. One interception was on a fade route in the red zone as they were going in to score. He's got a normal 6'1 receiver on the left-hand side. He's got 6'5 Evans on the right side, and he went to the shorter guy where Evans had been dominating all night. Threw a bad pass. It ended up being intercepted. And then later on in the game, he threw another pass that was deflected up in the air. Vinny Sunseri, a DB for the Crimson Tide, picked it off, had a beautiful, beautiful run for a 73-yard touchdown with a spectacular dive splash into the end zone. And those 14 points, that 21-point turnaround, was the difference in the game. His counterpart, A.J. McCarron, whom I said will be touted as the Heisman candidate if Alabama goes undefeated this year, had what would normally have been a great game. McCarron, you know, he threw for 334 yards. He threw for 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. But it paled in comparison to Johnny's stats. Plus, Johnny had another 98 yards rushing. But A.J. McCarron, mark my words, will be the guy who the media will be pushing for the Heisman because he fits the mold. He's the anti-Johnny football. Good, clean-cut guy, says the right things, doesn't come off as arrogant, gives his team credit. almost too squeaky. Okay, we had that with Tim Tebow. Fine. Okay, McCarron is a much better quarterback than Tim Tebow ever was, so that's not what I'm comparing. But what I'm saying is he fits the mold of what a lot of the media would really want as your Heisman Trophy winner. So Johnny Football, probably his last year in College Station. I'm sure there's a lot of alumni who are happy about that, and I'm definitely sure that he's happy about that. So great game, classic game. They came out with the top 25 rankings. Bama still number one, got 59 of 60 first-place votes. Oregon number two, Clemson three. The Ohio State University is ranked number four. You got Stanford from the Pac-12 at number five. LSU representing the SEC again at number six. Louisville with Heisman candidate Teddy Bridgewater at number seven. Number eight, Florida State. The mighty Seminoles have made a major splash with famous Jameis Winston at quarterback. Another great game out of him. Georgia Bulldogs did their thing again. They're number nine. And A&M dropped from six to number 10. So there's four SEC teams in the top 10 at this point in the season, which some folks say, hey, that doesn't really mean a whole lot. But unfortunately, when it comes to the BCS and things like that, it absolutely does mean a lot. Again, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. This is your host, Motormouth Mosley. You can call in at 347-945-7975. You can also hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. You got the information. Still looking for sponsors. Hit me on my inbox. Let me know what you're interested in doing. Before we get to the NFL, I do want to pat myself. I do want to go a little bit baseball. We've got about 13 regular season games left. And a lot of the races have already been decided. They're pretty much over. But they're still, when baseball implemented that wild card, it actually added to the excitement at the end of the season. I still know that there's some people who still have not forgiven baseball for the strikes and all the stuff that they put their fans through. So they may not have found their way back. But I've kind of forgiven them, and I'm still a baseball fan. But here are your standings in Major League Baseball as of today. In the American League West, American League East, Atlanta's up by 10 games. Los Angeles Dodgers are up by 2.5 games in the AL West. There's a three-way tie. Well, there's a two-way tie for first place in the NL Central. Pittsburgh and St. Louis are both tied with identical records. Cincy is sitting back 3.5 games, so they're definitely still in the race for the pennant. In the NL wild card, you've got, as I said, there's three teams that are pretty much secured in the race, at least. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Cincy, whoever the loser is of the division, will be probably make it in as a wild card. Cincinnati looks really good, and the Washington Nationals are only 4.5 games out. So they, you know, their season's not over with. They're still a shot. Again, Major League in the American League, you've got Boston up by 9. You got Detroit up by 5 games. Oakland has taken over the American League West by 6.5 games over the fading Texas Rangers. Rangers are still secure, tied with Tampa Bay with the wild card in the American League. But unfortunately, they haven't been playing real good baseball. They've tended to fade. I guess that Texas heat must be getting to them finally. But you still have some teams that are still in the race. So it's a little bit more exciting in the American League than it is in the National League. You've got Cleveland out by 0.5 a game. You got the Yankees. The Yankees are still in the running. I told you a couple of weeks ago, don't sleep on the Yankees. They're only 2.5 games out of the wild card. Yeah, Jeter's done for the year. Probably will never play with Mariano Rivera again. But the Yankees are still in the running. Baltimore, Orioles, still 2.5 games out, led by Crash Davis and his 172,000 home runs. And Kansas City, the Kansas City Royals are still in the running at 3.5 games out for the AL wild card. Unbelievable. Now, to the start of the show, NFL football week two. That's what I'm talking about. The real game, the real teams. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, I had a previous engagement today. Let down my Dallas Cowboys. They would have won if I was watching, but since I wasn't watching, I was doing God's work. I missed the game. It happens. But we'll start off with the Atlanta Falcons beating the St. Louis Rams 31-24. Matty Ryan was 33-43 for 374 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Congratulations, Dirty Birds. Buffalo 24, Carolina 23. Had to be a great game. E.J. Manuel at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills and Cam Newton for the Panthers. Probably was a great game. Sorry, like I said, didn't get to see it, but it must have been a good game. Minnesota 30, the Chicago Bears 31. Another fantastic tight NFL game. And we're at the Washington Redskins 28, Green Bay. Washington Redskins 20, Green Bay 38. Aaron Rodgers was 34 for 42 for 480 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. His QB rating had to be off the charts. It'd be up there with Peyton Manning's was last week, but not quite as hot. Now, Washington is struggling. RG3, Robert Griffin III, is not fully healthy. You can tell by the way he moves. It looks like they're bringing him back way too early. They were getting beat 38-7, and he was still in the game, so his stats look a little bit better than what they really were. He was 26 for 40 for 320. His three touchdowns, one interception, but like I said, a lot of those yards were meaningless. The game had already been decided. He probably should have been somewhere off of that knee. They were taking a major risk of him getting hurt. I'm not even sure if they finally did pull him out of the game. They should have, but when you're down that much, yeah, you still want to make an effort. You don't want to quit. You're not raising a red flag. But you've got a quarterback that needs some more rest than what they're giving. Yet Miami 24, upset to me over the Indianapolis Colts 24-20. And as I said earlier, disappointingly, Dallas Cowboys 16, Kansas City Chiefs 17. Dallas only had 37 yards rushing, which is an absolute atrocity considering the kind of backfield that they have. According to what had been said earlier, that they were going to focus more on their running game, and I believe DeMarco Murray only had 12 carries. So that is totally against what they had been saying earlier. But as for this game, one of the things that I also said a few weeks ago, and I've been repeatedly saying, is that don't sleep on the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 2-0. They've already got as many wins this season as they did all last season. They were 2-14 last season, but they had six Pro Bowl players on that roster. Add Andy Reid to the mix, head coach from the Philadelphia Eagles. You add Alex Smith, quarterback from the San Francisco 49ers, and a healthy Jamal Charles. That team is to be reckoned with. Everybody had pretty much given Denver this division, but I'm telling you, Kansas City is going to raise some noise. San Diego, thank you, San Diego, my favorite team in powder blue. 33, knocking off the Philadelphia Eagles is 30. Yep, it looks like that Eagle offense can score some points, but it also looks like they can't stop anybody. So it's two games in a row that they've scored a lot of points. They're now 1-1, but they can't stop anybody. You got Cleveland 6, Baltimore 14. You got Tennessee 24, Houston 30. Detroit 21, Arizona 25. Kind of shocked at that game, but I'm not so sure what Detroit's going to be able to do this year. New Orleans 16, Tampa Bay 14. Tampa Bay had a late drive, went for a 47-yard field goal and got shanked. Not like you do in prison, but it was off to the left. And New Orleans with Drew Brees got the ball last, one of their famous last-minute drives. Jared Hartley hit a 27-yard field goal, put them up 16-14, and sealed the victory for the New Orleans Saints. It's 2-0. Sean Payton is back. I'm telling you. Jacksonville 9, the Oakland Raiders 19. Terrell Pryor, not a spectacular game, but an efficient game. 15-24, 126 yards, no turnovers. I repeat, no turnovers. and he also had 50 yards on 9 carries. One of the major factors with the success of the Oakland Raiders is Darren McFadden. McFadden was 19 carries for 129 yards. If the kid can stay healthy, he is a beast of a running back. The key is he has been as fragile as Tiffany Crystal. That man can't stay healthy. But if he does, they're a team. Denver and the Manning Bowl dominated Eli and the Giants. Thank you. Another NFC team loses. Denver 41, New York Giants 23. And in a sleeper of a game, which I thought would be dominated by the New England Patriots, they squeaked by the New York Jets on Thursday night, 13-10. And I mean, you talking boring, tiring, unnecessary to watch. But still yet, it was a decent game, I guess. And on Monday night, you have Cincinnati hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I also think may be somewhat of a sleeper of a game. Steelers are a little bit in trouble. You look at tonight's game that's actually going on now. You've got San Francisco 49ers in a beast of a defensive battle against the Seattle Seahawks. I looked up at the score, and I saw earlier in the game it was 2-0, and I thought Bonds had hit a two-run home run against Ichiro and Randy Johnson, but it was actually the football score, and it's now up to 5-0. So it is, you've got a safety and a field goal being the only offense that has taken place. It looks like Seattle is driving again. And I believe that I had Seahawks to win this game in my picks. Now, as for my picks, last week, Motormouth Mosley, this guy right here, went 12-4 in his NFL picks. Not bad for an amateur. So far right now, I'm sitting on 10 victories this week with 4 losses. So if I can get the Seahawks to pull this one out and I can get Cincy to win tomorrow night, I'm 12-4 again. So that's 24-8. And that's not too shabby. Now, I've got a caller on line one. I will get to you momentarily, caller. I don't know if that's Dr. Mario or if that's Coach Howard. But in either case, I will get to you momentarily. I did want to stop and go back to a little college football. Like I said, I already did the rankings. So I will pick up that call and see who's calling in on the show and see if they want to have a conversation. Hello, who's my caller? Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Okay, guess my caller doesn't want to talk. In any case, looking forward to some. Hello? Hello, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes, I can. Hello, how are you, caller?
I'm okay. How are you?
I can't complain. Had a great day. Missed some football. Disappointingly, didn't get to see my Cowboys game, but I will survive.
I want to go back to RG3.
I'm listening. Talk to me. What do you got to say? The man's not healthy. Should be on the bench somewhere getting healed.
Didn't they pick up a backup that's pretty decent over in the offseason?
Well, not only that, when they drafted RG3, they picked up Kirk Cousins from Michigan State, I believe. In the fifth or fourth round. So they drafted 2 quality quarterbacks. They also have, I was going to say Gus Berat, but it's not. They do have another decent quarterback on their roster already. And they had Pat White out of West Virginia.
What do you think RG3 is? Maybe like 60%? You know, Cousins got to be better than that at 100%.
I would definitely agree. Now, I know that changes their offense drastically by having him there, but you're right. RG3 at 60% is only hurting himself. And Shanahan, who jeopardized his career last year, seems like he's doing it all over again. Because if you've got RG3 and he can't run, you don't really have him. You have a pale comparison of what he can actually do. So I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you.
right. And then how about New England? New England squeaked by Buffalo last week and squeaked by the Jets this week. What is up with New England? Are they that bad?
New England does not have a – does not. It was. I don't know if you watched the game. I actually watched most of the game. And there was – the camera caught a few instances where Tom Brady was just ripping into his guys. Now, I understand that Brady – I mean absolute tirades. And he's got some very young receivers, very untested, very unproven receivers that he just could not get on the same page with. And unfortunately, well, the announcers to me gave him a free pass. And I understand that he has built up a catalog of greatness, and he is, you know, Tom Brady. But if it would have been 90% of the other quarterbacks in the league, if Michael Vick would have been ripping into his players the way that Brady did, he would have been vilified by the announcers. But yet,
especially young players.
Especially young, vulnerable players who, I mean, he could ruin a guy's career, basically. Because if those guys don't have confidence in what they can do, they're going to be out there playing tentatively, and then Brady really will have something to complain about. But I thought it was atrocious, and I'm starting to watch games without sound with some of these announcers because they paint pictures with their words that just are too subjective to their whims, I guess I would say. Tell me what you thought about your – I don't know if you got to watch it because I know only in Hawaii you only get to see certain games, or I don't know if you used our little friend on the internet, but did you get to watch the Raider game today?
I watched the second half. I had something else I had to do earlier, so I watched the second half. It's hard to say against Jacksonville anything, you know. They didn't look bad.
Well, granted, Jacksonville is absolutely probably the worst team in the league, granted. But that wasn't a very long time ago that the Raiders held that title.
Well, you know, there are people that argue that the Raiders are still the worst team in the league.
Okay, those people really don't know the game, for one. And because I believe that during training camp, I believe of the 90 players that they had on the roster, it was like 65 of them were new. So,
yeah. You know what I saw today, too, when I was watching that game, 41% of their salary for the salary cap is being paid to players who are no longer on the team.
In other words, they would rather pay you to go than to pay you to play.
Yeah, it's, you know, Palmer and Haywood Bay and some other guys that are gone, and they're still taking a cap hit for those guys.
Well, you know what? I think in the long run that is actually a good move. Unfortunately, I don't believe that move would have been made if Al Davis hadn't have died. I think they would have still been making some personnel decisions that weren't positive for their team. But what they've basically done is they've purged that team into the kind of players that they want to have in the long haul. Now, I'd assume in the offseason this year that they're going to be making a whole lot of moves. But to say that they're still in the running as being one of the worst teams in the NFL, I think they're more towards the middle of the league. I don't think they're going to go 10-6 or anything, but I can see them going 6-10, getting 6 or 7 wins, or even 8-8 possibly. So, but Jacksonville, if Jacksonville wins the game this year, I'm going to be shocked. Again, folks, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. That. Dr. Mario on the line calling in from lovely Hawaii. And real quick, I did take a glance at the upcoming games this week in the NFL. The big feature game this Thursday night will be Andy Reid and his 2-0 newfound Kansas City Chiefs going back to Philly. There hasn't been a comeback to Philly like this since the Fresh Prince left. Andy Reid will be coming back after his many years of success with the Philadelphia Eagles. And that game is going to be played Thursday night. You know there's going to be a lot of media coverage of it. We'll definitely be following and watching that game Thursday night. A couple of the other games that are big this week will be the Detroit-Washington game. Oakland plays Denver, and that is a rivalry game on Monday Night Football next week, people. Understand, division rivalry games, no matter how bad a team may be, when it comes to that bitter rival, records mean nothing. The year that Dallas went 1-15, they had one victory the whole season, and it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, against the Washington Redskins, the year they won the Super Bowl. So don't sleep on the Oakland Raiders and this newfound offense. You've got Pittsburgh playing against Chicago on Sunday night. Atlanta goes down to South Florida, and they're playing the Miami Dolphins. Dallas plays St. Louis. And a shout-out to my church buddy, Edward Cowan, big-time St. Louis Rams fan. Saw a picture that he posted today on Facebook, rolling up at the Georgia Dome against the Atlanta Falcons, wearing his blue and yellow Eric Dickerson number 29 jersey, representing his team in the heat of the enemy. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Again, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. You've got Motormouth Mosley, that is moi, and Dr. Mario on the line. Again, if you're looking at making donations, you can hit us up on PayPal. Go to our Facebook page, make a donation, or you can just send it to our mailbox at P.O. Box 55, Redan, Georgia. That's 30074. That address I just gave you is for the Motormouth Mosley Man Cave. That's where I hang out. That's where I do my dirt. But, again, we've got Dr. Mario on the line. Hey, Dr. Mario, since you're in the middle of the islands, we got about 2 minutes left of the show. Will my University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors beat anybody this year?
What was that? Sorry.
Will my University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors beat anybody this year?
You know, they'll get lucky once or twice. I don't see them winning more than two or three games. They have a tough one against Nevada this week, and you know it's going to be uphill for them all season.
Okay, I had this discussion on the show a couple of weeks ago with a couple of people from the islands. If they only go, let's say they go 2-10 or 2-11 or 2-however many games they play, probably 13 knowing them. So they go 2-11. Will that be enough for Norm Chow to keep his job, or will they bite the bullet and be paying a third coach to leave?
He will be here next year. If he goes
0-12
or 0-13, he'll be here next year.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Now, I'm just going to let
And you
them
hit
go.
The nail on the head. They can't pay another coach to go away. I think he only had a 3-year contract. So they've only got one more year. And no matter how badly he does, he'll be around one more year.
And you probably don't believe that he'll have much more success next year. So they'll bite the bullet. He'll be gone. Hopefully they'll do a better job of hiring this next go around. I did want to touch on Hawaii high school football. I saw, and I don't know if you caught this, but I saw that Kaiser High School out in Hawaii Kai played against Nanakuli and beat them 70-20. Now,
I did not see that.
I'm not going to get into a certain aspect of the game that some other people did, but what I do want to touch on real quick, and I've only got about 20 seconds left, is our boy Kirk Clivio had a 53-yard touchdown.
Hey, all right.
And I want to give a shout-out to the girls' volleyball team at Kealakehi High School in Kona, Kira Calbero, my girl, star setter on the team, has a couple of great wins this week. So, again, you've been listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. Thank you for calling in, Dr. Mario. Thank you for listening in. Remember, all episodes are archived. You can go back and listen to them at your convenience on the Blog Talk Radio website, /Motormouth Mosley. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening in. Have a great week. Look forward to talking to you again on Tuesday night, 11 o'clock East Coast, 5 o'clock Aloha time. Have a great week, and mahalo to everybody.